National Radio Hub.
Mighty X's Radio Buffs, Phil Wayne here for Market Scope, the audio column that takes us to radio markets across the U.S. as we dial around the radio bands. It's back to Texas this month as Dale Hamm and Gary Kettler give us the AM band in Austin, Texas.
Hello, everyone on the DX Audio Service. This is Dale Hamm
and Gary Kettler
recording to you again from Austin, Texas. This time, Gary, looks like we'll do a Market Scope of Austin. There hasn't been one done since 1993.
Yes, and there's been a lot of changes and a few new stations moved in since then. So
we got 590.
590 KLBJ has been around for 60 years, and up until recently it was owned by the Johnson family.
Yes.
In the mid-90s, they merged with a company called Sinclair Telecable, which owned KRLX and KGSR, which we'll get to on the FM side. But anyway, they own, I guess, six stations. But anyway, they have sold those properties all to MS Broadcasting. I guess they did that in the spring. So I don't know if they're running them yet, but they're KLBJ AM is News Talk, 5,000 watts, and they make it from South Texas all the way up into the middle of Oklahoma. So they have a great daytime signal.
Okay, moving on up, 970 KIXL.
KIXL is Christian talk primarily. They've been doing that, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And I think they're 1,000 watts day and night.
7:59 on KLBJ Radio.
Yeah.
Ed Mark and Sergeant Sam on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Yeah, we'll get more of your calls and comments right after the 8 o'clock news with Todd, 836-0590 or pound 590. This is Austin's 24-hour news station, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Round Rock police are searching for a man they say allegedly flashed himself at two young girls in two different days. We'll have the details of the story straight ahead. And Austin police continue investigating a late morning homicide that happened yesterday to a five-year-old boy also injured in the case. The stories are coming up next. You're listening to News Radio 590 KLBJ Austin, Texas. Check your watch. It's 8 o'clock.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Bond.
Right now, cloudy skies, 70 degrees around the track at Camp Mabry. I'm Todd Jeffries, live local news every half hour from Austin's 24-hour news station, News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Your breaking news first on Austin's 24-hour news station, News Radio 590.
8:10 after 8. Good morning. I'm Mark Caesar with Ed Clements and Sergeant Sam Cox. We've been talking about this stalemate at the Texas Capitol over congressional redistricting.
One of your most valuable resources, Clark Howard.
Grab a hold of your financial future.
Protect your money. Protect your investments. Depend on Clark Howard's money advice every day.
Clark Howard, tonight, 7 to 10, on Austin's 24-hour news station. News Radio 590 KLBJ.
So how difficult would it be for a terrorist to acquire the materials needed for a biological weapon? Not very difficult at all. News Radio 590 KLBJ. It's 8:31. I'm Todd Jeffries, and topping Austin's news, a five-year-old boy is still in the hospital after being attacked by his mother's killer.
8:35, 25 before 9, Traffic Watch, brought to you by Austin American Statesman. Here's Joe Taylor. 70 degrees, 836, KLBJ Sports. Ed almost made it last night.
My little sister and I are comfortable with that. I just didn't know because I don't know.
It's a gift you're giving them in return for the gift they're giving you.
More of Dr. Laura this morning, 9 to noon, right here on News Radio 590 KLBJ. 848, 12 before 9, Ed and I recently got some new product.
852 on a Tuesday morning, Joe's calling from Round Rock. Hi, Joe, welcome. You're on.
855, 5 before 9, traffic and weather together on KLBJ, brought to you by Nortec Auto Repair. Here's Joe's Radio 590 KLBJ. 68 at the airport, 856. Here's Cactus Pryor.
Time for the following political broadcast, or not
the Senator.
Let's give Joe a hug. Cactus Pryor.
Stop whining. All you do is whine.
Then let's strike a martyr.
Hey, Thursday night, county line on the lake for sports talk, 6 to 8 as we get ready for Texas OU. Prizes, tickets to Texas OU, great food and drink. Thursday night, county line on the lake.
boy.
Big party. Good time.
Big times. Party.
Be Remember to go to 590klbj.com. Check out details on that new KLBJ cruise to Alaska next June. It's going to be fabulous.
Sir.
Have a great day. Please come back tomorrow on KLBJ.
This is Austin's 24-hour news station. News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Now that Motorola has decided to spin off its semiconductor unit here in Austin, enjoying a rather form a new company, the mayor says that could actually be a good sign for our local economy. We'll hear it from the mayor's mouth coming up next. And the group Envision Central Texas would like for you to take a survey online. You're listening to News Radio 590 KLBJ Austin, Texas. Check your watch. It's 9 o'clock.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Barr. The polls are opening in California for the...
Today's talk, 970 KIXL, Del Valle, Austin, Georgetown. Today's talk, 970 KIXL, Del Valle, Austin, Cedar Park.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Right now, 71 degrees, 718 with Family News in Focus next.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Be sure to listen to KIXL 970 AM, weekday mornings from 8 a.m. to noon for the following programs.
Insight for Living. Truths that Transform. Focus on the Family. Renewing Your Mind. Family Life Today, Calvary Continuum, Turning Point, and In Touch.
That's the weekday morning lineup from 8 a.m. to noon. Here at KIXL 970 AM, more than just talk radio.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Jesus cares about you. And so do we. We're Kicks on 970. More than just talk radio.
7:23 on the Kicksel Morning Magazine. God bless. I'm Ed Sawson.
Hi, I'm CJ.
Yeah, I'm Tony. If it's true that we're here to help others, then exactly what are the others here for?
You think of the most interesting questions.
Yeah, they just make you go, I wonder why.
Kicksel Morning Magazine time. We're coming up on 7:29. Austin police may be one step closer to solving the murder of a 30-year-old Austin woman. 71 degrees at 7:29. I'm CJ Tier for the Kicksel Morning Magazine.
Kicksel 970. More than just talk radio. We celebrate the love and care of Jesus 24 hours a day.
Well, you talk about a hot dog. Firefighters in Cul-de-sac, Idaho, blame a grass fire on a burning dog. The animal wasn't hurt, or I wouldn't be laughing about it. The animal's coat caught fire when the owner's van backfired. Now, this is something out of a Three Stooges movie. The van backfired, sparks flew out, caught the dog on fire. The dog's owner had run out of gas and was priming the carburetor. The engine backfired, throwing sparks into the vehicle and set the dog on fire. The dog starts running, and he ignites the grass as he runs. Fire Chief Gary Gilliam says, in all my years fighting fire, I've never seen anything like this before.
Oh, my.
That is amazing. Fortunately, the dog was not hurt. Nobody was injured, but is that bizarre or what? Talk about new meaning for the word hot dog.
Hello.
I'm Ed Sawson.
I'm CJ.
I'm Tony.
Then we got the big OU Texas thing, and we're going to let you predict scores.
72 degrees, 736, and that means Chuck Colson's coming up next.
Hi, this is Chuck Colson, and you're listening to KIXL in Austin.
Kicksel Morning Magazine is continuing. It is 7:42. Ed, CJ, and Tony, and we're going to be around here until 8 o'clock. We're so appreciative that you guys dialed us up. Well, we could count that as a great honor.
News, weather, traffic, sports, interesting talk shows, great teachers and preachers, sure, we've got all that and more. Celebrating the love and care of Jesus. We're Kicksel 970. More than just talk radio.
Good morning, everybody. Kicksel Morning Magazine continuing. I'm Ed Sawson.
I'm CJ.
I'm Tony.
Friday before the Texas OU shootout in the Cotton Bowl. The unlikely event of a tie. It's only happened once in all the years we've been doing this. We flip a coin so that one person gets the dirt-free $100 cash, all right? It's 7:57. Well, we're smack dab out of time, boys and girls, so we're just going to say we're on our way out of here, folks. Our thought for the day, we were called to be witnesses, not lawyers or judges. Amen?
Amen.
Say goodbye, Tony.
Goodbye, Tony.
See you, CJ.
See you, Sasson.
God bless you, folks. We love you. And remember, Christianity is more about walking than about talking. KIXL, Del Valle, Austin. Our time now, exactly 8 a.m.
With SRN News, I'm Bob.
Thanks, guys, for doing a great job and catching all those IDs. We'll be back next month to finish up. If you'd like to submit a market scope, my address is Phil Wayne, 1872 Myers Road East, Marion, Ohio, 43302-8730. The membership thanks you in advance. Now here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
My name is Stephen Gastreich, a newer member to the National Radio Club. I am very, very happy to be a member and to get these tapes every month. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and about a year ago, another member, Ron Rudolph, I'll say hello to him real quick. Hi, Ron. Got me starting to listening to these DX tapes. But anyway, I became interested in DX and radio ever since I can remember. I mean, having those little AM transistor radios back when I was about 3-4 years old, when my parents showed me that I could listen to the Milwaukee Brewers, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, and then my DX, as I grew up, my DX interest became heightened when I learned, like, I could get WLW in Cincinnati and then WJR in Detroit for those games. Just finding out, you know, especially at night, you could get all these different stations, and I just love radio, my interest in radio. It looks like IBOC has entered the Milwaukee market. At WTMJ 620, right between, if you dial around, like, between, say, 610, then 620, then 630, in that frame is where I'm hearing that lovely hiss of IBOC. I discovered it yesterday, March 31st.
Hello, DXers. This is Herbert Newberry calling from Milledgeville, Georgia. Per a news release on WGST 640 in Atlanta, Georgia, beginning in 2005, the Atlanta Braves Major League Baseball team will be broadcasting their radio telecasts on WGST 640 and WKLS 96.1 96 Rock. This ends a long-term relationship with WSB 750 in Atlanta. So all of you who live out in the boondocks, out at some distance from Atlanta, you may have to find some other arrangement to listen to the Atlanta Braves.
This is Tim Hendel. I think the way Clear Channel and WWVA are treating their host city of Wheeling, West Virginia, is the best argument we've had in a long time for why large, massive ownership radio just abuses its home city and doesn't give a darn about its audience. WWVA probably did more to put Wheeling on the map than WSM did for Nashville. And as Nashville and WSM had the Opry, Wheeling had the Saturday Night Jamboree. I can't get WWVA here because they beam in a northeasterly direction at night, so I used to get them in New York even though they were right next to WHAM. Does anybody know whether WWVA still broadcasts the Saturday Night Jamboree in Wheeling or whether the Jamboree even still exists? They also used to broadcast a thing called the Mining Report, in which they would talk about all the different coal mines in the area, which miners should go to work and which mines were closed that night and the miners should not go to work. All that stuff served the local community. Is it any wonder that young people and even older people are leaving radio in droves? Well, I don't think so. I think commercial radio is driving people away.
Hi there. This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. I want to tell you that this is the 40th anniversary of a major change of a radio station in Buffalo, New York, 550 on the AM dial WGR. WGR changed from top 40 to kind of easy listen to a kind of Peggy Lee and Robert Goulet type format about this time, about the 28th, the last Monday of March, 1964, at 7:59 in the evening. Anyway, the paper said that they lost a lot of money. I don't remember how much money they lost.
Hi, this is John Jones, Elmira Heights. As everybody knows, radios come in different sizes and shapes nowadays. But someone had asked me, some time ago, when did they start having battery-operated radios? Well, technically, your first radios that were made in the 20s were technically run by batteries. Matter of fact, they were what were called peanut tube radios. And what I'm interested in finding out is, do we have anybody on the audio service that is familiar with the old peanut tube radios, and what kind of reception did they get?
Hello, Fred. Everybody on the DX Audio Service. Dale Hamm calling from Texas. Back on April the 3rd, the weekend of the time change, before midnight, my local time, I was 10 to 11:60 to see if I could receive KSL, and was receiving a AM station carrying the Disney Network. Now, I'd like to know where that station is that was carrying it, because I never did hear an ID from them. Also, down on the 11:50, there was like a news talk thing, and I never could figure that one out either. Another thing I'm concerned with is WAI 1200 San Antonio. I thought they were continuous 50,000 watt night and day, but at night, I don't know if they're changing the directional pattern of their signal or what it is, but in Austin here, you can't even receive WOAI. Just very, very weak. So.
Hi there, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. I want to tell you how much I enjoyed the Rick Shaw air check from the old 610 WCKR. I do agree with Phil Wayne. I do miss that kind of radio very, very much. I wish they'd bring it back in some way, somehow, in some fashion.
Hello, members. Ken Anischuk, your sports editor, on Tuesday, April 13th. Mark Marino is in town to visit his mother, and on Easter Sunday, because of a double schedule conflict on AM 1000, WMVP, the Chicago White Sox were on 1000. The arena football team, Chicago Rush, were moved to 105.9 WCKG. And the NBA Bulls were moved to 890 WLS. It was the first time WLS has ever aired a Bulls game. For this historic event, Mark and I both tried and failed to get an ID during the game on Sunday at different times. Did anyone, by the way, in the Chicago area or Midwest hear an ID during the Bulls overtime win, which really would have been a treasure to get?
Thank you. This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. There was a gentleman that used to be on WOR New York 710 on the dial in 1925 who replaced another guy who called in sick, and he was there for many, many years. I understand that his name is John Gambling. I understand that he passed away a few months ago. I wonder if anybody knows about him. I understand there were two great gentlemen that were on here for many years.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. I listened to WTOP in Washington the weekend of March 14th, but I never heard anything mentioned during the hour on the 14th or the 15th. I listened both nights as to there being an actual test for the radio club, and I've never heard one, and I was sort of wanting to. Ernie Harwell is donating $2 million to the public library in Detroit, and I guess it's going to help out with a lot of his baseball books and things like that he's written about broadcasting, and I think that's great. Some pickups, WENE on 1430 in Endicott, New York one night, carrying Fox Sports. A great country music station on 1000 just before dark on a Saturday night early in April, WIOO, I believe it was, in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Also, I noticed a station on 850 in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, has gone, I think, now to talk. Besides, they changed the call letters. We had a report on that last tape. Picked up a station in Sykeson, Missouri. This was great. On 1520, last Wednesday night, I believe it was KWHR. Boy, they were really playing the good country music. And I bought a Grundig crank-up radio and gave it to my girlfriend on Valentine's Day. And we're very happy with it, for no bigger than it is, and you don't have to buy any batteries or use any power to get it going. You just crank it up, and it runs for an hour, and it picked up quite a few stations. I had a very nice chat with Ken Anischuk on Tuesday night, April the 6th. We talked for quite a few minutes. And also, one day, I wanted to listen to WXYT Detroit. This was in the middle of the afternoon. It was their home opening game, and I was able to null out WHLD Niagara Falls, New York, 70 miles away, and bring it in.
Hi, my name is John Sanders, and I have a question for you. This is just a general one. In the future, do you think it'd be possible for you to record the DX Audio Service magazines on audio CDs?
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And to answer that last question right now, whether or not we'll put the DX Audio Service onto a CD, the answer is no. From the listener's side, we'd have to give you less DX Audio Service, because we can actually put more content on a cassette tape than we can on a CD at the present time, at least until technology advances a little bit further. Now, on the publishing side, it would require a lot of new infrastructure to be able to start duplicating large quantities of CDs. And keep in mind what I said a few months ago, we're a club and not a business. So unless somebody is going to give us $10,000 with no strings attached to put in all the CD duplication equipment, we're just not set up to do that kind of thing. Now, there is a silver lining to the cloud. Coming very soon is going to be a brand new website for those who are technically advanced, and they can get their DX audio service in an electronic form, usually an MP3 or a real audio. The complete magazine will be available on subscription on this website, as well as text content from DX News Magazine. We'll be announcing that very soon in the upcoming months. Right now, here's Ken with a look at the sports networks.
Hello again, DXers. Ken Onestruck back here with an update from my last column in Major League Baseball. The Arizona Diamondbacks that I mentioned were on 620 KTAR. In Spanish, they'll be on 1400 KSUN. In Houston, of course, in English, 740 KTRH. In Spanish, they'll be on 1010 KLAT. The Milwaukee Brewers will be on 620 WTMJ with Bob Uecker and Jim Powell, of course. The Montreal Expos will not only be in French on CKOO 98.5, but English, another team station, 990 CKGM. The New York Yankees and the New York Mets will both have their games broadcast in Spanish on 1280 WADO. I have one change to pass along here. In San Diego, the Padre games in English will be on 1090 XPRS, but the Spanish station, 1040 KURS, has changed to an English talk format, which is quite different. So they won't have a Spanish language station doing San Diego games this year. Next, San Francisco will be on 680 KNBR. In Spanish, 1370 KZSF. Does anyone remember back in the 1970s when I believe the Oakland A's games were on 1370 when it was K-E-E-N? I do have a faint recollection of it back there. Does anyone else remember along with me? I move to the American League now where some changes here. The Kansas City Royals will be on 810 WHB. When the contract for 980 KMBZ expired, WHB wanted, though 610 KCSP wanted it also with a 5,000 watt non-directional signal. But the 810 position has 50,000 watts daytime, though a 5,000 watt north-south signal at night. So, due to the weak signal at night, somewhat, 5,000, all games starting at 7 p.m. or later will be simulcast on 97.3 KZPL in the area. Next, the Minnesota Twins will be on 830 WCCO, Herb Carneal, Dan Gladden, and John Gordon. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays, that's definitely on 970 WFLA with Paul Olden and Charlie Slows. And that's it for now. I have a few more ideas before I let this tape go. So enjoy, and I'll talk to you next time around.
Morning Sedition, weekdays 6 to 9, Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Old Franken Factor. Weekdays noon to 3, Randy Rose. Afternoon 3 to 7, So What Else Is New. Evenings 7 to 8, The Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11, on Air America Radio. You're listening to 1190 WNTD. You're listening to 950 WNTD Chicago. The home of Air America Radio in the Windy City.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Wasn't that interesting how the flagship threw an idea in there before an affiliate here in Chicago did? AM 930, WAUR, out west in Sandwich, is still doing kind of like Protestant Christian programming until the Catholic starboard takes over there. Meanwhile, on 820,
Starboard is programming, while Sporting News is weekends only. Here's 8:20 on the weekdays.
Catholic Answers Live, right here on Relevant Radio. Bridging the gap.
I turn it on for my kids in the morning, and they've even started listening.
This is Morning Air.
This is Relevant Radio for Chicago, 820 AM, WCSN, Chicago.
And now the 930 station I spoke of earlier.
And it is your monthly support that helps keep the continuation of this program on Victory 930, WAUR.
Teaching and talk, thank you for listening. To Victory 930, WAUR Sandwich. Coming up next, this is the American Health Radio Show on Victory 930, WAUR.
Hope to hear corrections or comments from those in the future. Thanks for listening. Good DX, and talk to you again next time.
On the telephone, I'm talking to Scott Feibusch in Rochester, New York. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, Fred. How are you?
Pretty good. And before we get into our talk here about the convention, I just want to give a little demonstration because we had a DX Audio Service member who was just wondering if you were in the studio the last time we talked, and I was explaining to him that, no, it was through the wonders of the electronic media. Now, let's make the transition. Are you ready?
I am already here.
Okay, and here we go.
Okay, we are moving into the future here, are we not?
And you sound like you're right here in the studio.
I guess we can give away a few of the secrets, although I am in fact talking to you on the phone. The audio that you're hearing from my end is being recorded on my computer, and I am going to, when we get done with this conversation, send Fred an MP3 file, and then through the miracle of digital audio editing, he will splice my answers in with his questions, and it'll sound like I'm right there with him.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's great, which means, by the way, also that I can do actual radio production from home, which I do.
Ah, the miracles of technology. Well, let's get on with the convention talk. Now, first of all, another member called and said Thursday. Now, what's all this talk about Thursday, the convention starting? It's always started on a Friday.
It has. We're doing something a little bit extra this year, because there are a lot of members of the club, very active members of the club, who are right near where the convention action is taking place and yet in a completely separate country because we are less than an hour from Canada. And we've got some very active folks in the NRC who live up in Canada and who want to show off some of the great sites that they have up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sort of added Thursday into the mix, and if people are able to get here early, we're going to have a day trip up to Canada. It's only about a 2-2.5 hour drive from the convention hotel. And we will spend Thursday, most of Thursday, driving around seeing some of the radio towers and studios of some stations that you will recognize in southern Ontario.
Such as what stations?
We are confirmed with AM 740. You can see why I'm not a jingle singer, right? CHWO up in Toronto. They're going to welcome us both to their studios and to their transmitter site, which is the old CBC site up at Hornby, Ontario. The CBC still owns it, and the French language programming on AM 860 comes from there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're also going to be visiting CFRB 1010.
Okay.
And we're talking about some stations that we might get kind of chummy with, too, if things work out okay.
Gee, you wonder who that might be.
Gee, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out all about it in the 680 News, I guess.
There you go. Now, are there any plans for going up perhaps on the CN Tower?
Well, we did that last year during the WTFDA convention. So if any of our listeners are also FM or TV DXers, and I think there are a couple of them, we kind of covered that last year. It's a tough site, especially security and everything.
Sure.
To get into, and we were lucky to be able to do it once. We might be able to offer it again in the future sometime if we do another convention.
And speaking of security, Scott, how's that going to affect some of the members getting over the border and going to and fro?
Well, it's always something of a concern. The border, fortunately, if you're crossing on land, where we'll be crossing in Niagara Falls, it's usually not too much of a problem. The key is to make sure that you have proper identification with you. You need to have some sort of government-issued photo ID. It does not have to be a driver's license. If you have a non-driver's ID or some other sort of government-issued photo ID card.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also want to have proof of citizenship, which could be a passport. If you have a passport, that's the best thing to bring. If you don't, you don't need one. You can bring a birth certificate or a social security card, or even a voter registration card will prove that you're a U.S. citizen and let you back in. If you are a Canadian citizen, you'll want to have basically the same sort of documentation which you would need anyway to come to Batavia for the convention.
Okay.
And if for some reason, if people are coming who are neither U.S. Nor Canadian citizens, I hope they get in touch with me ahead of time because we may need to make some special arrangements for them.
Okay. Now let's move on to Friday. What kind of things do you have lined up for us on Friday?
On Friday, we are shuffling off to Buffalo. Our convention site is in Batavia, New York, which is about halfway between Rochester and Buffalo, so it's only about a 40-minute drive. And we're still nailing things down, but the plans call for a visit to the WKBW and WGR shared transmitter site in Hamburg, New York, which is a very wonderful historic site with a lot to see and do. And I think we'll also try to get to the WBEN site, 930. And we may also visit the local AM station in Batavia, WBTA. And then on Friday night, a lot of you may know Jim Renfrew, who's been a longtime member of the club and was the editor of the International DX Digest for a long time. Jim is going to welcome us to his home, which is only about a 10-minute drive from the convention hotel. And he's got a big field out behind the home, and he'll have some pizza and some beverages to drink, and we can string out some beverages to listen to and have a fun time DXing all evening long, so bring your radios.
Okay, and now let's move on to Saturday. What things are happening on Saturday?
Saturday, there's Freckles the DX dog in the background, by the way. On Saturday, we are going to finally head over here to Rochester, where I am, and we are going to visit some Rochester area radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to visit definitely WXXI 1370, because I'm working there at the moment, so that's easy to arrange. And then also going to try to get us into WHAM 1180. We'll see that facility and probably a few of the other transmitter sites in the area. And then, of course, Saturday evening, we'll return to the convention hotel, and we will do our big banquet. And we have a speaker. That will be a fellow by the name of Bob Savage, who some of you might remember from CKLW and from WKBW.
Sure.
Back in the 70s. Bob now owns WYSL Radio, which is about half an hour south of Rochester.
They still call the station a whistle?
On occasion, he does, yep. Mm-hmm. And he certainly named it after the old Buffalo station. He'll be talking about his experiences at CK and at KB and about what it's like to be a standalone AM radio operator in this day and age. And then after that, of course, we'll have our annual meeting and our auction.
Okay. Now let's move on to Sunday. I don't suppose anything's happening on Sunday, is there?
Oh, there might just be a few things happening. We will have the world-famous DX quiz, and I am assured that Mr. Bowker has something special in store for DX Audio Service members.
Mm-hmm.
And then for people who are able to stick around on Sunday afternoon, we're going to head over to Bloomfield, New York, which is southeast of Rochester, and we're going to visit the Antique Wireless Association Museum. This is one of the best collections of very, very early radio equipment, going all the way back. Literally, they have a working spark gap transmitter.
Oh, geez.
So
does
that'll
go back.
Be fun. And then if people are still around Sunday night and want to go to a ball game, the Rochester Red Wings are going to be taking on the Buffalo Bisons right here in Rochester, and I can arrange for some tickets for that.
Is that AAA ball?
That is AAA ball. The Red Wings are the top affiliate of the Minnesota Twins.
Okay, very good. Now, let's talk about the location for the convention. Can you tell us where that's going to be?
I sure can. The convention will be taking place at the Days Inn in Batavia, New York. If you are driving to the convention, we are right off the New York State Thruway at exit 48. If you are flying in, you can fly into Rochester or to Buffalo. Just let us know so we can make arrangements to pick you up. You can take the train to Rochester or to Buffalo on Amtrak, or you can take the bus right to Batavia on Greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel itself is fully handicapped accessible. Service dogs are welcome, so Mike Lance will have no problem bringing Lexi. And, in fact, all sorts of dogs are welcome, so I could even bring Freckles if I wanted to, although I don't think I will. You need to make your reservations as soon as possible. They want to hear from you if you want a room.
Now, do you have to give them a code?
You just tell them you're with the National Radio Club.
Okay.
The rate is $72 a night.
Okay.
The taxes are relatively low. There are no special convention center taxes or anything like that. So it works out about the same as where we've been in past years. And it's $72 a room, so if you want to get a roommate or two roommates or three roommates, you can do that.
Okay.
They will do that, and I will give you the number to call, so get those pencils ready.
Okay.
It is 585-343-1440, and I'll repeat that. It's 585-343-1440.
And they should call the hotel direct at all
times.
They
should definitely call the hotel directly to get that rate. That's
okay.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the convention rate. Have you figured that out yet?
We are still finalizing the details on that because we want to make sure that we've got enough in the budget to cover refreshments and all of that. It will be probably about the same as last year, which means it'll be either $40 or $45, and we will have all the details on that in time for the June issue. So stay tuned, and we'll get that in there.
Okay, and what meals are you providing for the convention?
Your convention registration will include the pizza dinner at Jim Renfrew's house on Friday night, and it will include the banquet on Saturday night. You are on your own Thursday night if people get get to Batavia by Thursday. We're going to have a dinner arranged that you'll pay for yourself at a restaurant near the hotel on Thursday.
Okay.
And you're on your own for lunch each day.
Okay.
Although, as part of the tour groups, we will certainly be stopping someplace for some sort of communal meal.
There you go. Well, sounds like it's going to be a great convention this year. And
it's going to be a blast. This is really a neat area. It's a great time of the year if people have the ability to come up a little bit early. We're recommending, especially Canadians, if they want to come early and spend some time in Toronto. It's a great city to visit, and that makes it real easy to hook up with us then on Thursday for the tour.
That's Scott Feibusch, convention host and also owner of Feibusch.com and one of the editors of 100,000watts.com. Is that right, Scott?
And the afternoon news guy for the moment on WXXI AM Rochester.
There you go. Scott, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
John Bowker was recently named a member of the club's board of directors, and our president, Ken Chatterton, appointed him as ombudsman. John wants to hear from National Radio Club members who have suggestions for the way the club might address their interests better. You might want to at least just say hello and tell him your thoughts. He's been a member of the club for a long, long time and has seen the changes in broadcasting from both sides, the operators as well as the listeners. So let's make him earn his new stripes as a board member. You can send him email at johnb, that's J-O-H-N-B, at nrcdxas.org, or you can write to him at Post Office Box 5192, Sun City Center, three words, Florida, 33571-5192.
Radio station owner plays by own rules. By Will Higgins in the Indianapolis Star, February 16th, 2004. Bruce Quinn is a broadcast executive, but he doesn't act like one. He doesn't hire programming consultants. He doesn't report to corporate headquarters, play golf with advertisers, or even comb his hair. Yet he's running an FM radio station in one of the larger U.S. markets, Indianapolis, where an estimated $100 million is spent annually on radio advertising. As it is everywhere else today, the dial in Indianapolis is dominated by big corporations. 17 of the top 20 stations are owned by just 5 large companies. Such firms get bigger and richer by buying existing stations for millions of dollars and then forcing their playlists into narrowly defined formats that are proven to attract a target audience, say, females 18 to 34. Quinn, with practically no capital, but with much patience and ingenuity, built WKLU 101.9 from scratch. He discovered an unused frequency, applied to the FCC, maneuvered through the governmental red tape, got the construction permit and the license, built the station, and started playing music. He did this with about $250,000 that he scraped together from his family. He could have sold out immediately for millions, but he didn't. Instead, he broadcasts. He does a lot of the engineering work himself. He's on the air 6 hours a day as Bruce the Radio Pirate, playing 60s and 70s songs you haven't thought of in years, because no other radio station is playing them or ever played them. Plus, he likes the songs. Frank Zappa's Pajama People, The Beatles' You Know My Name, look up the number. Quinn, 48, is one of the last of radio's independent operators. It's little guys. He was drawn to radio early in life. Quinn is legally blind, which meant he couldn't play sports and couldn't watch TV, but he could listen to the radio. Quinn's station doesn't have great ratings, or even good ratings. His cool 101.9 is Indianapolis's 18th most listened to station, according to ratings company Arbitron. WKLU has less than a tenth as many listeners as top-ranked WFMS-FM, for example. The station doesn't make much money. Quinn said annual revenue is around $400,000, but it pays for itself, and it's debt-free. The only shareholders are Quinn's family members, and they're satisfied. The Quinns are educated people, a computer engineer, a psychologist, a researcher in microbiology. If they ever decide to sell, they will be millionaires. Quinn said he gets offers all the time. Just last month, he turned down $7 million, he said, declining to reveal who made the offer. And that's not an unreasonable price, considering a similarly obscure Indianapolis station, WXIR-FM, was bought by the Disney Company last year for $5.6 million. Quinn says he'll just keep turning down the money. "Where would I go? What would I do?" he asked. "This is what I enjoy doing, being able to play the music you love and making a difference in the broadcasting industry." In the broadcast booth, Quinn puts on Inagata DeVita by Iron Butterfly and later something by Wishbone Ash. Sunday nights, he noted, the station plays 2 straight hours of Grateful Dead music. Quinn sits back, nods, and pronounces his operation a nice little setup. If you had seen Bruce Quinn in 1980, you wouldn't have predicted this. Back then, he was 25. He had attended Butler and Indiana universities, but he had no degree. And he had no address, really. He was crashing on the sofa in his cousin's apartment in Bloomington. He worked in the kitchen at a Howard Johnson's. His poor vision prevented him from getting a driver's license. His hair was long and tangled. He clearly had a passion for radio, but his passion seemed to take him in a fruitless direction. He operated a pirate station. He illegally connected a complex assortment of electronics so that he and some pals could party in his cousin's apartment and send out over the airwaves whatever they wanted. They sang, they told jokes. Mostly they played music, a bizarre mix of punk rock, big band, bluegrass, classical, and Irish drinking songs, to name only a few. "It would be the Hallelujah Chorus and then the Ramones," said Graham Shepper, who was there. "No boss, no regulations, no management telling you what to do, no playlist. It was great. There was no money in it, but that didn't seem to matter. Jolly Roger Radio, as Quinn called it, had a sort of doctrine, the belief that the airwaves were for the people, and not just the millionaires who could afford to buy radio stations. Jolly Roger might have been somewhat anarchistic, but it was not mean-spirited, and was not even obscene. It was illegal, though. You can't broadcast without a license. The FCC discovered Quinn's illegal broadcasts in December 1980. The penalty wasn't stiff, a $250 fine, but the hard thing was no more playing Mr. Radio. It's what Quinn had always wanted to do, and pirating seemed the only way. Quinn twice tried to get jobs at traditional radio stations, but he said his poor vision cost him. Over the next several years, with help from an unlikely source, George Sklom, his FCC tormentor, Quinn went legit. He started his own station in Attica, and then one in Monticello. And then in 1993, he hit Indianapolis and landed in the League of Millionaires. Quinn didn't forget who he was. WKLU has its headquarters in a nondescript old house next to a nondescript new strip mall in Brownsburg. The place used to be a pet shop. Quinn lives across the street from the station in a modest condominium. His wife of 2 years, Mitzi, a former WKLU disc jockey, lives in Columbus and is in the process of launching a radio station there. Quinn does not spend lavishly on salaries. He hires veterans, but for part-time wages. His morning man is Jay Baker, for years a key cast member of the nationally syndicated Bob and Tom Show, which originates on one of the highly rated local stations, WFBQ-FM. His public affairs director is Irma Lee White, who has worked at radio stations since 1963. Then there's Libby Zabriskie, who has 27 years in the business, including a stint with Bob and Tom, who handles late afternoons. Like the others, she plays what she wants. "This is how radio used to be," she said. "I can't imagine what you'd have to do to get fired around here." And that article, "Radio Station Owner Plays by Own Rules," was seen in the Indianapolis Star, February 16, 2004, written by Will Higgins. This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Mark. And before we skedaddle out of here for yet another month, just want to let our DX Audio Service members know this tape is being sent on May the 3rd, 2004, and we'll see how many of the stamps get canceled on this runaround. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.